crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day.
And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good.
It was Christmas Eve, 1968, and Apollo 8 was circling the moon, trying to pave ground, so to speak. They never landed. They were only looking for a place where Apollo 11 will eventually land. As they came across a part of that, and there is some video that you can go out and see on this, as they came across an area that was later called the Sea of Tranquility, they found a flat spot where Apollo 11 would eventually be able to actually land and people get out. As they were coming across that area and able to look out through the portal, they were able to see the white of the moon as it reflected the sun against the black darkness of space itself. You began to hear what you just heard. That was an actual recording of the astronauts in the Apollo 8 as they began to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. It's estimated that over a billion people heard the word of the Lord that day as they watched and listened to what was going on. You know, today we're starting a brand new series called Origin. If you got your Bible, I'm going to ask that you open up to the book of Genesis. If you're not certain, it is the very first book of the Bible. I say that because there may be folks in here who've never reached or never used a Bible before. But Genesis, we're going to be in chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, open it up. If you don't, or if you don't have your physical copy, turn it on. I'd love for you to be able to see as we walk through today. You know, the word Genesis means origin. It means the beginning. And today, we're going to be talking about what does it mean, what was the origin of the world, of the earth, of the heavens. As we start this new series about origins, we're going to be in chapters 1, 2, and 3 for the next 4 weeks. I want to kind of preface it and say to you, I think these three chapters are probably the most important chapters in all the Bible. They're probably some of the most important chapters in all the Bible. They answer some of the life's biggest questions, philosophy questions, existential questions, questions maybe you remember these, questions like, who am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? What's the reason that I'm even here? How did it get to this situation? It answers, I believe, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, some of the biggest cultural questions that we have today. I don't know about you, but probably 10 or 12 times a day I go, are they serious? Seriously? this is our world is crazy. And I have to go back to, and I want us to remember that Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the beginning of everything, where it all started. This is how we know, we're going to spend some time, this is how we know, what did God design? How did he design it? Why are we in this spot? What is it that he desires for us? You know, I grew up in a little East Texas town called Greenville, Texas. It wasn't a big city. It was a very small little town. It was about 50 miles from Dallas. If you wanted bright lights and big city, you went to Dallas. If you were going to do anything fun, it'd be similar to like College Beach Grove to Nashville. That'd be about the distance. I spent a lot of time in Dallas as a teenager. I wanted to go to the big city, but I loved Greenville. Greenville was not a bad place to grow up. Small, you knew everybody. You kind of got to do a lot of running around. You'd leave in the morning when school was not going on, and you could go everywhere and just have a good time. Those days are gone now. Much like the reading Genesis 1 through 10 over the airways, you probably wouldn't hear that a whole lot today either. There's something about people wanting to know and remember their origin. Do you realize there's a reason that 23andMe, all the generations kinds of things are so powerful today? People are wanting to know, where did they come from? And as I look around the room, there's most of us in here, we're not from here. You grew up somewhere else. And if you're like me, you enjoy going back home. You don't necessarily want to live there. I mean, listen, Tennessee is my home. But there's something about going back to Greenville, Texas, and being able to, you know, walk the paths, drive the places, see the different places that you live. There was a country song not long ago, it's been a few years ago now, that really kind of honed in on this. A lady named Miranda Lambert, she had a song called "The House That Built Me." And the song is all about her going to this house and knocking on the door saying, "Hey, you don't know me, but I grew up here. That handprint on the front porch, those are mine. Can I walk around my bedroom?" And she says in the song, "I thought that if I could just come here, this brokenness inside of me might be healed." Folks, I want to say there's a lot of spiritual truth to that. You realize, and we're going to talk about this later on in 2 weeks, about the brokenness inside of us. And until we get back to the original design of how God created us and why he created us, it will never go away. I want to say to you today that you may be here today because you're thinking, "Man, listen, it's the first Sunday of the new year. I'm going to go and try to start some new rhythms." Thank you for being here. You may be here because you're going, I had a friend who texted me and said, "I want you to come and be a part of this." There's all kinds of context and pretext for why you may be here, but I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit of God has drawn you here so that you might begin to understand that God loves you. He sent his Son, the living Word of God, to die for you, to live a perfect life, so that you might have a redeemed life, be reconnected into something that was broken in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to spend some time over the next 4 weeks, including today. Today, we're going to talk about the origin of the world, the heavens and the earth. Next week, we're going to talk about the origin of man and woman. The next week, we're going to talk about the origin of sin in Genesis chapter 3. And then in week 4, we're going to talk about the origin of the gospel, the very first gospel that was proclaimed in the world. I want to tell you that I believe, personally, I believe today is the most important message that you'll hear. I believe that if today you can get what we're talking about, something that is really very simple, really very clear, but if we can get this, if we can get back to this and understand the origin, it clears up a lot for us. So today, if you got a Bible, you got your pen, you got a piece of paper, I typically give you the roadmap and say, "Hey, here are the 3 things that we're going to talk about today." I do want to tell you we have 3 things that we're going to talk about today, but I'm only going to give you the first one to start with. Number 1, we're going to be honing in on Genesis 1:1. We're going to satellite around Genesis 1, but we're going to hone in on Genesis 1:1 today. And the very first point that I want you to see is this, is that God is the creator. God is the creator. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this. Moses wrote it, and he said, In the beginning, in the origin, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, listen, in our world today, I'm looking around. There's students all around here. There's children in here. We have teachers in here. We have scientists that are in here. I want to tell you there are all kinds of theories, hypotheses, I would even say in some instances speculation about how we got here and why we got here. But I want to be really clear. We don't have to hypothesize. We don't have to wonder. As followers of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, which we believe, I believe, I want to implore you that it is inerrant, it is right, it is true. He wrote this. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created. You know, there's all kinds of, again, hypotheses out there. Some, do you know, realize there are scientists who would say that early in when the world was, as verse 2 would say, when it was formless and void, that meteorites hit the earth and that there was a lot of single-cell organisms that came from somewhere. These single-cell organisms carried something called RNA, ribonucleic acid. They began to develop. They came together. They began to work their way. And as then you have macro evolution, and these cells begin to evolve into higher levels of species. Listen, I want to tell you, there's all kinds of theories, all kinds of hypotheses. And students, I want to say this to you. If you're listening, I want to make sure I got some eyes. Even adults, I want to make sure. You realize that a hypothesis is an educated guess. It's a guess. What we don't have to guess as followers of Christ, because we have God's revealed word written to us. And in the beginning, the scripture tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. We don't have to rely on speculation. We don't have to rely on educated guesses. We can know that in the beginning, God created. Now, some of you are going right now, this is why I said this is really pretty simple. This is really very clear. But if we don't believe God's word, it's going to we're going to like veer off. And the scripture tells us that the very beginning that God created. In the beginning, it was God that created. Scientists tell us that carbon dating, that the world is a billion years old, billions and billions of years old, billions and billions of years old. You know, there are theologians, though, that would say that if you took all of the generations from Genesis all the way through the Bible, that there's somewhere between only, the world is only 6,000 to 10,000 years old. Many would say that God created the world mature, just like he created Adam and Eve. How did he create Adam and Eve? Were they babies? No, they were mature. So he may have even created them to be the world, to be a mature world. That the flood itself would have compressed all of the data so that it would be looking as if it is an old earth, when in reality it is a young earth. Here's what I want to guarantee you. Here's what I want you to say. I want to give you some room on this. I have my theories on what I believe as it revolves around creation. I am a seven-day creationist. I believe it is a young earth. But I want to say this. No matter what, the Bible tells us that God created. In the beginning, God created. God didn't tell us everything that we needed to know. Did you realize there is no DOB on the earth? There's no born on date. Listen, but what we do know, what he did give us, God didn't give us everything. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things are known only to God. But what he did let us in on, what he did tell us is extremely clear. This is the repeat. Look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the very one who did this. Listen, because there are theories, because there are hypotheses, because there are speculations, we don't have to speculate. God himself has revealed to us that he is the one who spoke into creation. You know, if you've been around here a while, you hear me say that when you see things in the Bible, especially things that are like in a short period of time that repeat, you want to begin to take notice of them. I want to point out a couple of things here in Genesis chapter 1, all right? You're not going to be able to see them all. I hope you write some of them down. If you've not read Genesis 1 yet, I want to encourage you, ask you, implore you, challenge you. Would you read Genesis 1 today with your wife, with your husband, with your family, with a friend? Because I want you to begin to see these. When you begin to see in Genesis chapter 1, it says God said quite often. God said, God said in verse 3, in verse 6, in verse 9. If you circle, write down, this would be good. 3, 6, 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, verse 28. You may be going, Kyle, whoa, slow down. I want you to go back and look at them. The point is that God's speaking his word. His word matters. His word matters. Do you know that's 12, 13, 14 different times in one chapter, 26 verses, 27 verses, God said. There's another thing that corresponds and goes right along behind that. Everywhere where you see God said, do you know what you see right behind it? It was good. It was good. Verse 4, verse 10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, verse 25, verse 31. Folks, I want to stop here for just a moment. God created. How did God create? He created by his spoken word. He spoke and it came into existence and it was good. Do you realize that today we have God's word in our hands? The book of Hebrews tells us that long ago he spoke by the prophets. God spoke, the prophets would write it down. It says in these last days, he's spoken by his son, his living word. We have the word of God before us. And I want to be really clear. When God speaks, it is good. It is good. Did you realize that when God speaks, it is for his glory and for your good, for my good? All of his word is for our good. We don't tend to see that. We're going to see this in two more weeks when we get to the fall because we're broken people. We're broken by sin, and so we don't always understand that his word is good, but his word is true and right and good. This is why I think today is the most important one, that if we don't believe his word, if we don't believe that his word, that he speaks, and he still speaks today, it's not a new word. I want to make sure you hear me. There is no new word. It is his word that he's already spoken to us. And so when you and I are in a situation and we're wondering, what do we do? It is God's word that brings life. It is God's word that brings wisdom. It is God's word that is good for your and my life. The problem is that most of us don't know God's word. And so we run around asking for someone else's word. And if we're looking for someone else's word and it is contrary to the word of God, I want you to know it's always bad. When I say bad, it's not the best. God's word is always good. He is the creator, and he spoke into creation. So the very first thing is God is creator. Here's the second thing that I want you to see today, is that God is powerful. God is creator, and God is powerful. Okay, for fear of repetition, look at Genesis 1:1 with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. This phrase right here, this verse, but the phrase the heavens and the earth means no less that he created all the heavens, all the heavenly beings, and he created the earth. But it also means in the context of chapter 1 that he created everything. It's a phrase that means he created everything that is. It's all from him. You see, chapter one is a wide, wide angle. It's about how he created everything that is, everything that has been, everything that will be. He's created it all the way to humankind. Chapter two is going to kind of focus down into a very specific humankind, man and woman, Adam and Eve. And then chapter three is going to get even more, and it's going to look at their life and how they interacted with God. So what the scripture here is telling us is this, is that God, by his powerful word, created all that there is. You know, I am not a creative person. Not a creative person. There is a couple of stores. There's a couple of stores, Lowe's and Home Depot. Do you know, I go to Home Depot and Lowe's and kind of walk the aisle sometimes just looking at tools and wondering, I wonder what that does. In my home, growing up with, or literally growing up, me and Amy, we married young, and my father-in-law, whether it was for Christmas, when we weren't having to make gifts, which were heck for me, I'm just telling you, having to make gifts for family, he began to get me Home Depot and Lowe's cards. I later found out he got me Home Depot and Lowe's cards so that Amy could go buy the tools that we needed to fix things around our house. There are days I still can go and I grab a tool. I wonder how this works. I'll go get some material and I think I'm going to do something with it. Josh, don't laugh at this. And I screw it up. Listen, this is my way of helping the economy, calling somebody to come and fix something. This is my economics, my investment into the economy. Do you realize that God didn't have to go to Lowe's or Home Depot? He spoke, the scripture says, everything. He didn't go to the garden department and grab shrubs like I do and come home and dig a hole and plant them in. He spoke it into existence. That's how powerful his voice is. Have you ever been around someone that when they said something, people jumped and started doing what that, I don't know what that's like. I would love to be able to say, stock market, go crazy. And the stock market, go crazy. Up, that is, not crazy down. Go up. I would love from, I don't have that kind of ability, but we know the one who does. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created by his powerful voice. Psalm 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord, catch this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and the breath, and by the breath of his mouth, all the host, everything. He simply speaks and things come into existence. Behind me right now, you're going to see a picture of a galaxy called the Whirlpool Galaxy. Maybe I ought to get out of the way so that you can see it better. Ben may want to bring the lights down a little bit so that you can see. This is the Whirlpool Galaxy. It is 31 million miles away from us. The speed of light moves at 186,000 miles per second. And if we believe the word of God, he spoke that and it came into existence. If we were to try to get to the Whirlpool Galaxy, it would take us, traveling at the speed of light, 31 million years to get there. And this galaxy is one of millions that exist. The next picture that you're going to see behind me is the sun. I don't want you to look at it for too long. It may hurt your eyes, all right? It's 10,000 degrees. 10,000 degrees on its surface. We're 93 million miles from the surface of the sun. Do you realize that scientists will tell us that if we were literally inches closer in our orbit, we would burn up. But if we were only inches further in our orbit, we would freeze. This is the power of his word, to speak and things happen. Some of you in here today, you're sitting in a situation in your life where you feel like you have a dead marriage. There is no life to it. You're sitting and you're thinking about a spouse, a husband, a wife, a child who is far, a mother, a father, an aunt, a neighbor who is far from God, who is spiritually dead. Did you realize that our God can speak life in an instance? That's how powerful his word is. Listen, we said a minute ago, I think I did. I want to go back to it if I didn't. Scientists, many in these theories that they have, they break all kinds of rules with scientific data. You know, the scientific method, have one right here, a scientific method is you observe something. And as you begin to observe it, then you begin to ask questions about it. Listen, nobody was there to observe the created world. The created world. Only God was. And when God spoke the word to Moses, he wrote it down. So we have the inerrant, truthful word of God before us. He's in charge of everything. He is sovereign over all. Do you realize that the word of the Lord makes the leaves turn? Do you realize the word of the Lord made all those clouds roll away this morning that you saw when you got up? Do you realize that the word of the Lord gives you power to move each and every day? Do you realize the power of the Lord, his voice, his spoken word? He brings kings up, he brings kings down. That means that whoever's elected in 24, he's ordained that. We can rest assured. Do your duty, go vote, and then rest assured that God, in his sovereign plan, in the power of his word, we have what we have. Psalm 19:1 says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Down through the ages, pagans have worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees. The scripture tells us that these are his handiwork. He is the one. Romans 1 even tells us that all of the world, all of mankind, is without excuse before him, because what is known about him has been clearly seen. His eternal power, his divine nature. So that all of man is without excuse. And he goes on to tell us that what ends up happening is they suppress the truth of God. You and I suppress the truth of God. And we end up worshiping the created rather than the creator. And as a result, then he gives them over to their desires. You see, God has called us, God has created us, God has ordained by the power of his word that we are to worship him and not the created order. And today, some of you are in here today, you've come and you're about to start a brand new trek this year, and it's time that we get our worship in order. Some of us in here today, your worship is focused on creation, people, things, accounts, rather than the creator, the one who sets all of those things in motion. And today, he calls you and he speaks to you by his written word and by the living word, Jesus, to turn to him. Number three, quickly, and I close, is this. Not only is God the creator, not only is he all-powerful, he created by his word, by the power of his word, God is the owner. God is the owner. You realize whoever creates something actually is the one who owns it and knows how it works and designs it. Someone who creates something, who makes something new, they're the ones that know how it should work, what to do with it, what's the purpose for it. Have you ever walked through a store or your kids bring you something and you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, what is this? What does this do? Why do I need this? Well, the owner is the one who can set that out for us. He's the one who knows. Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell within." Psalm 89:11 says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them." You are the one who has founded it. Do you realize that this world, this earth, it is God's? The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 that you're going to see as you read through today that he placed man in the garden, and in that garden, he called him to work and to keep it, to care for it and to cultivate it. We have a responsibility to care and to cultivate the world that is around us. You know what? Listen, we shouldn't be abusing the resources that we have. We also, though, have a responsibility to harness what it is that God has created for our good, for his glory, and for the welfare of our cities and our states. What we have to do, though, is recognize that God, this whole world, everything that there is, you've ordained and you said it. You set it into motion and you've put me here to care for it. Many times what ends up happening, we think this world revolves around us. We think what I have is mine. I worked hard for it. Someone else worked hard for it and they gave it to me. My house is mine, my car is mine, my job is mine, my family is mine. Did you realize that God has given you everything that you have? Did you realize, I want to be really clear, I want you to catch this. Did you realize that you own nothing? It's only been given to you. Your house, your home, your car, your family, your job, your influence. And yet what we end up doing is we end up hoarding everything. It's me and it's mine for my good and for my glory, for my benefit, my time, my money. Do you realize that God has given it to you to steward, to give back to him for his glory and for your good? You see, when we put the Lord first in all areas, do you realize it's for your good? Because this is what the scripture, because his word is powerful and right and true. It's for our good. Psalm 8:6 says, "You've given him dominion over the works of his hands. You have put all things under his feet." All things under his feet. Did you realize that your own body is not yours? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, do you realize that you have been bought with a price? The Bible tells us that God has created us. He's created all beings, but we're not all his children. I want you to hear this. God has created all beings. He's created us in his image. Genesis 1 tells us, but we're not all his children. The only people that are his children are those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God sent his one and only Son, the living Word of God, to earth to live a life that would be perfect. And that perfect life got him killed on a tree, crucified. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later. 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father, and today he reigns there. And his Holy Spirit moves about calling you, reminding you of the Word of God, what Jesus said, that you are in need of a Savior. So as a child of God, do you realize that he bought you with his life? You're not your own any longer. He owns everything and has given it to us to steward. This is what the Bible teaches us. This means that our very existence is for God. You see, you didn't just end up as an amoeba, a photocells and plasma, and all of a sudden I'm here. No, you were created on purpose for a purpose. To take the word of God, to bring my life under its power so that I might stand and proclaim, you proclaim the glory of God for His glory and your good. Quickly, I want to point out a couple of things to you. Look at chapter 1. Excuse me. As you read through chapter 1, you begin to see that God did a lot of separating. He separated from the light, from the dark. He separated the animals according to their kind, each according to their kind. They didn't evolve into different species, each according to their kind. He separated the waters. He separated the plants. Do you realize that Matthew chapter 25 in the New Testament tells us that on the last day he's going to separate again? He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, Matthew chapter 25 tells us. Those who know him and have surrendered their life and walked with him, and those who have said, I don't want you. Those who are his, he's going to say, come in, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. To those who have said, I don't want you, I don't want anything to do with you. Scripture tells us that he will cast them into outer darkness. They'll go to a place called hell. I say this to you on the very first day of the year, very first Sunday of the year. I want you to believe in a real place called heaven. But to believe in a real place called heaven, we have to believe in a real place called hell. And today he's brought you here so that you might know Jesus, his son. Jesus, his son. So that he might take you to be where he is, John says. Salvation is much like creation. Verse 2 of Genesis 1 says that when God looked at it after he'd created it, it was without form and void. In the first 3 days, he began to form it. The last 3 days, he filled it with a void, the void that was there. Do you realize as those who have never surrendered their life to Christ, your life is empty? You go, wait a minute, my life's not empty. I fill it with all kinds of things. All kinds of things that will never bring true and lasting joy and peace. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit fills your life and that void is gone and you have meaning and purpose. You see, Jesus is powerful. Jesus' words are true and right. And just as God is the creator, just as his words are powerful, just as he is the owner, the scripture tells us that as the owner, he has said, the only the ones who will come to me are those who surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Those who all who come to me, I've given to him. So today, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I invite you to come to Christ today. Some of you in here today, you are followers of Christ. But his word's not been powerful in your life. Your word, you've treated your life as if it was your own, even though we've said we've given it to him. Listen, the way that you and I live each day in power and in strength is by submitting to the word of God each day. This is why we call you, implore you to get into a Bible reading plan. Today, I ask you, I call you, I challenge you, come to Christ. Submit to his word, his powerful word, and see that it is true. Let's pray together. Lord God, I love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for all the guests that are here. And Lord, I pray that your word might bring joy and life and peace to them. Lord God, I pray that today, if there's someone in here who doesn't know you as Savior, would your Holy Spirit remind them of your words, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one gets to the Father except through you. We love you and we honor you, and it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.